the BSO season gets underway on Friday here at Tanglewood. We now speak with a man who not only is keeping the plate spinning here, he's also keeping an eye on Boston, even working on programming for future years here at Tanglewood.
Yep, he's a national resource. He's unbelievable. Tony Fogg has been the artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra since 1994. And, you know, he's the guy who plans on selection of all BSO concerts and repertoire.
Pianist by training. He is one of our favorite guests to chat with, and it's always wonderful to welcome him back to our Tanglewood Roundtable, and very nice that you all keep inviting us back, so we thank you very much for that, and welcome.
You know, it never feels like Tanglewood has actually begun until I've come and seen your smiling faces here on the roundtable.
Hey, Tony, I understand that your telephone has been insured for $5 million. That's an inside joke, but you really know if somebody drops out or if you have to get somebody in an emergency situation, you're the guy. Probably the only guy who can really do it and find somebody.
So, oh my God, so I'm driving down I-90, and there's a huge billboard up there, and there's Jesse Norman on the billboard. And you're like, oh, great, I've got to go see Jesse Norman. Quick, honey, you take the wheel of the car. I have to make a phone call. I have to get tickets. Jesse Norman, and then you get the call. What is that like?
Well, it's disappointing first and foremost because I was looking forward to seeing Jesse here and hearing her narrate the Lincoln Portrait of Copland, which, you know, is a wonderful piece, and hearing her great voice reciting those words. But look, it happens, and we just, of course, we have to accept the disappointment, but we then think about what to do, and, you know, you run down the list of options, and in this case, do we want to aim for a very famous actor who may be able to fill in, a film star, something like that, or a different sort of solution, which is what we did in this case, and we have a wonderful actor by the name of John Douglas Thompson, who's actually starting work at Shakespeare and Company soon for their production of Red Velvet, and someone that I've been a great admirer of for many years, and was delighted that he was actually free and embraced the idea of taking on this role. So it happens.
So let me ask you this, and not in any way referencing Jesse Norman, but you're the guy who picks the talent. And you know that in some cases, you're playing with nitroglycerin. In other words, some guys are going to show up. They're going to do it. If they were croaking on their last breath, they'll be here. And then some people, you say, have a reputation for not making it. And you have to take that into your equation, don't you?
Yes. Look, there are levels of risk. When one is engaging a singer, for instance, we know that singers' instruments are their bodies.
Yeah.
And so they're prone to lots of things going wrong. Unlike maybe a pianist or a violinist who, if they have a heavy cold, can keep going, a singer can't. So there's always an element of risk. And to be sure, there are some artists who are perhaps a little more fragile, and you have to weigh up the risk of that. But the show goes on.
Yeah,
we always have someone up there, and it's the Boston Symphony, it's Tanglewood. If artists can possibly be available to come and help us out in situations like this, they certainly will.
And while not your first choice, this is, I mean, he is an amazing actor. He has certainly done much here in the at Shakespeare and Company. I saw him on Broadway recently in Time to Kill. I mean, he just is an amazing
incredible
actor.
Incredible presence.
And what a voice.
What a voice. And that's what I can't wait to hear him reciting those words.
So how did you do it? I mean, give us a little insight.
Well, look, I first of all talked to our good colleagues up at Shakespeare and Company to say, you know, what's his schedule?
No. But what made you pick?
But before that, Tony,
what made you pick him? What made you think of him? Got people like Sam Waterston around here.
Yeah, think of the range of talent that you may be able to draw on in a short period of time like this, and knowing who was going to be in the pool of Shakespeare and Company was, you know, a starting point. And then when I saw the name and thought, as you did, Joe, about, you know, the incredible voice, it seemed a very good option to pursue.
And
at a certain point, you haven't got much time. You've just got to get this in place. So,
and how do they know when to come in? You know, I mean, that's always that that piece is
in
always,
that piece.
Yes,
point the conductor points. You've just had Jacques on here, and he's the master of dealing with.
It just points at you. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, it's a wonderful piece. It's been done by many many great figures over the years.
I remember when the mayor of Albany did it,
right?
Tom Whelan. Yeah.
How many? This is a rather academic question, but let me ask it anyway. Which is, when you have opening night, which is Friday night, and we just heard from Maestro Lacombe, and do you think is it who is available, or do you really look for somebody who would be like a good opener?
Both. We thought about the nature of the event and the way the calendar fell this year. Our opening night was on the 3rd of July, and we had James on the 4th and the Pops on Sunday afternoon. So it was a fairly easy decision for us to decide that we wanted to do an all-American program rather than doing a big major symphonic piece, a European or French or whatever, that perhaps didn't fit with the holiday feeling of the weekend. And so we just little by little built up the elements, thinking about the great composers from the American canon, Copland, Gershwin, Duke Ellington, our own John Harbison, who will be here with us on Friday night for the performance, who's a major figure at the school during its 75th anniversary. So it came together very, very easily, I must say.
Do you look at anniversaries as pegs of saying, okay, this would be great for this year, but why don't we hold it for our 75th?
Yeah, absolutely. And we did that on a number of, there were a number of things that we'd been thinking about for a few years that we said, let's just keep that for the 75th anniversary of the TMC, as we did for the 75th anniversary of Tanglewood in 2012. And anniversaries are useful things. You can be a little bit too prescriptive sometimes, and the dramaturgy of things can overtake good common sense of making good programs. But it is often a very useful opportunity for us to explore some strand of repertory, to highlight a legacy, to bring forward names that have been forgotten. And I think that part of our culture, the ecology of music making here at Tanglewood, the great figures that have walked around these grounds, that's part of our responsibility to look after all of that dimension of our rich life, our musical life and history.
Do you think sometimes, because given that you're, I mean, the best at what you do, so when you put things together, do you ever think to yourself, you know what? It would be great if we could put this show. No one has ever done this. I want to do this. This is going to be beautiful. We can get all these people, all these pieces together. No one has ever done this. This would be wonderful. It may sell 4 tickets, but I don't care because it'll be great.
No,
should do this.
No, I never think that way. And ultimately, I imagine sitting in the concert myself and thinking about how I would respond to the performance, but how other people would respond. And it's no, there's no, nothing gained from having something that might be a wonderful symmetrical program with this and that, but if it doesn't touch people, if it doesn't capture their imagination, then
don't know that because it hasn't been done yet. I guess how experimental can you be?
There are the limits. You know, here at Tanglewood, we have big venues.
You know,
the Shed, if we have 3,000 people in the Shed, fair enough, but it looks a little lonely. So, you know, we do have to be responsive to the resources that we have and to the venues that we have. We can be a little more experimental in some of our smaller venues in Ozawa Hall, in the Chamber Music Hall, and so on. And that's one of the great things about this place, that you can sort of, in a way, try anything. Big scale, small scale, and there's an opportunity and a place to do it, yeah.
So how many people does the Shed hold altogether?
It's a little less than 5,000, and then I think we can have up to 13,000 on the lawn,
sure.
Which doesn't often happen for a classical concert, but has at times over the decades. But, you know, we like to see the Shed full, and making music with a lot of people, and with the cumulative aspect of the ritualistic aspect of many people listening to a great performance is something very powerful, and it's one of the things about our art form, why we believe in this and why we keep coming back.
Well, look, the this may get me into trouble, but the and maybe you, hopefully. But the
yeah, that's what we hope for.
But the BSO is the best orchestra in the world. Okay, so I happen to think that that's my opinion as a trumpet player from junior high school 118. But I think it is. But when you are that good, there will always be people who are either jealous or bellicose, or I remember kids saying Mickey Mantle ain't that good, you know, walking down the street. And you have the job of having to find not only the great ones, but people who will be great, but who are substituting for another great one. Do you ever have the feeling that there are people out there who wish you ill?
Now, here's the bad news. We only have 30 seconds to answer that question.
No, I don't think there's anyone. And look, best is always a very difficult thing to qualify. You know, every situation has its leading factors and so on. No, I think in our business, we all want everyone to be able to perform at their best and achieve their greatest possibilities of their talent. So,
wow.
We're all in it together.
Wow.
If they fall off the stage, so be it.
Wow.
Tony Fogg is the Artistic Administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. For more information on Tanglewood, go to tanglewood.org. Tony, always a pleasure.
Oh, great. Thank you. Too. Thanks, Alan.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts on WAMC.